From Santa Fe this week, I'm Joey Peters.
I'm Matthew Reichbach.
And I'm Justin Horwath.
And it's the Weekly Word, and we're back after about a brief hiatus because of this scandal that has broken in between the last episode and this episode.
And my vacation, which I get one of a year, so. we're here in foggy Santa Fe, and we're going to try to unravel the, or I guess not foggy, hazy Santa Fe, try to unravel everything to go with what people are calling Emailgate.
Yeah, the scandal known as Emailgate that really started last year and really has developed into a bunch of different scandals.
And we'll get into that just after this break.
So I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter again. We're here with Justin Horwath, also of the Reporter. And
I'm Matthew Reichbach. I'm with nmtelegram.com, and also I freelance for the Reporter.
And so we're here to talk. We're about on the one-year anniversary of Emailgate.
I hate that name.
Well, if you can think of a better name.
I'll think the entire podcast, I'll think of something at the very end. I'll come up with something.
But everybody's pretty much been calling it Emailgate. And it started last June, about a year ago, when actually Steve Terrell at the New Mexican broke a story. He had obtained an email from a public information officer of the Public Education Department, Larry Behrens, sending a list of non-union teachers across the state to higher-ups in the Martinez administration, as well as Jay McCluskey, who is Martinez's top political operative and not a state employee. All this was done on private emails, Yahoo accounts, also the Susanna Pack emails. And what was so controversial about this was that it was, Larry Behrens later stated, it was a response to a public records request. And when you do public business on a private email, you know, it makes it much harder to locate it for a citizen to locate it as a public record. So after that email leaked, more and more examples of public business being done on private emails within the administration leaked. Examples such as setting, you know, lobbyists setting up meetings with the administration, top officials of the administration.
These were the emails that were released by Independent Source Pack?
Yes, and the group that was releasing the emails was Independent Source Pack, which is a liberal political action committee that is run by Michael Corwin, who had done a lot of opposition research for Democrats in the past, and he's, you know, very partisan dude. But he had obtained these emails and was slowly leaking them to the media, created kind of a scandal. And when Governor Martinez was under enough pressure after this, she sent a executive order to basically stop the practice
of using private emails
for
public business.
Yes, but they just kept leaking and leaking and leaking. And then she asked the FBI to investigate who it was who had obtained these emails. They had claimed that they were stolen. And anyway, so that happened. And now fast forward to last month, late last month, May of 2013, we learned that Jamie Estrada, a former campaign manager for Governor Martinez in 2009, is a grand jury charges him, indicts him on allegedly intercepting these campaign emails that were leaked to the press last year. And
he
so
has his arraignment on Monday.
His arraignment's this Monday. And you have met him because he was a Matt, because he's a a panelist on New Mexico in Focus on PBS all the time, which you're a panelist on sometimes.
Yeah, he's one of the regular rotating panelists. I'm just kind of one of the guests that comes in. And he was on the the election night coverage also that I was on for KNME, and he's not going to be on the line until I asked our friend of the podcast, Matt Grubbs, about it, and he told us that until the legal situation plays out, we won't be seeing Jamie Estrada on Friday nights on KNME.
So what if Jamie Estrada is like guilty and in prison? Then he could come back on the New Mexico in Focus.
Well, what's interesting is looking back in the summer of 2012 when these emails are leaking and there's an uproar about administration officials using their private accounts, and that's of course, you know, kind of in the wheelhouse for the line to talk about, and
the line is the panelists on New Mexico in Focus, and, which Jamie was one.
And there's Jamie Estrada talking about it, and it's just kind of fascinating to go onto YouTube and watch these videos of Jamie. Kind of really, he's really calm and really poised and really, talking about this scandal and about how he was a federal employee and how he never used private emails, but he didn't seem like an individual who would have been
in charge of leaking these emails.
Yeah, at the center of the scandal.
He had a good poker face on and you linked to that in a story that you did, Justin, on The Reporter called, what was it called again?
It was called Fallout.
Yeah, and you linked to these, and this was kind of about Jamie and that, and you linked to these, and you guys can watch that on sfreporter.com. But I think Jamie's background is definitely worth mentioning here. He worked in the Commerce Department under George W. Bush in Washington, D.C. from, I think, the mid-2000s till late in Bush's administration. So Jamie's a Republican. Jamie's
a lot of the names in this are some of the names, are Republicans.
Yeah.
So interesting to see the divide that's.
I believe it was the Albuquerque Journal that named him one of the top rising Republicans in New Mexico a few years back. I think he made the Business Weekly's 40 Under 40 People on the Move. He ran for the Public Regulation Commission in 2010 here, and he lost the primary, but he had his own, I believe, his own public relations company, and then he worked for D.W. Turner's, and
so he's part of the Republican establishment in the state. He's definitely been, he was one of the rising stars and everything, and then at some point in 2009 there was a fallout between Estrada and Martinez, and it depends on which side you go to, what story you get, as you would expect. Martinez's people say, what did Martinez say? She knew he was of poor moral character.
She knew he was of poor moral character, and that's why she fired him in 2009. And Justin's story, Fallout, examines that issue, and because Jamie completely disagrees with it, and he provided you documents to kind of show his point, right?
Well, one interesting issue in this is that Jay McCleskey and the Martinez campaign claims that Estrada, he was hired in the summer of 2009 as an interim campaign manager. And this is when the Martinez campaign was kind of on a shoestring budget and they weren't, paying a lot of people. And I think he was maybe doing that as volunteer work.
And this is summer 2009. I mean, keep in mind, this is more than a year before the general election. This is like right when she launched her campaign.
So fast forward to December 2009, and something happens. And it's not quite clear what kind of fallout there was between Martinez and Estrada. Jay McCleskey claims that Estrada looked at Martinez's campaign emails, that he was looking at her emails, and this is totally separate from, violating the intercepting wire communications, as he's charged with now, but that he just kind of went and somehow peeked at her emails, or something happened in or around December 2009. And so McCleskey and company are claiming that they had summarily fired him because Estrada was of, quote, suspect moral character. What's strange about that claim is, A, there's no supporting documentation for it, and B, that following Estrada's apparent firing or termination by the campaign, he starts his run for the PRC, and he hires a company called Lincoln Strategies. for his campaign. To
run by none other than?
Jay McCluskey. It's not quite clear what kind of fallout there was, and there's obviously, if this case goes to court, this is kind of be central to that case, because the federal prosecutors are going to want to display Estrada as somebody who had a bitter taste in his mouth from the campaign.
So, and just to clarify, Jamie and his lawyer denies that they ever looked at her emails during that time.
Denies he looked at their emails, and denies that they were fired.
That he was fired, and he says they left on good terms, right?
Well, what's interesting also is after...
Oh, no, there's that, again.
Well, so Jamie, he loses the PRC primary.
Well, let's go back, because I just want to say this. In the federal...
Real quick, we'll all cut each other off here, but I want to get a word in here about... Steve Terrell wrote about the Lincoln strategies running Estrada's campaign, and basically McCluskey said that there were several efforts to help him with a graceful exit, him being Estrada, including my firm agreeing to work for him in his PRC campaign after he was unable to get a job with the Berry administration. That's Richard Berry in Albuquerque. Ultimately, Estrada was abruptly fired before he could leave on his own terms.
So, and remember, in the FBI affidavits, there's an email that Jamie sent around the late 2009 saying, I don't understand how you can treat me this way without suffering consequences.
Political consequences, something along
those lines. And that's what I wanted to say before you got into the PRC race. So.
Sure, yeah. And then after the PRC race, McCluskey had forwarded our paper some emails that some messages that appear to show that Estrada was vying to be the Secretary of Economic Development, and obviously that did not happen.
Within the Martinez administration.
Within the Martinez administration, after she was elected in 2010, kind of between the during the transition period, and so he doesn't get that position, and the Martinez administration and prosecutors are going to want to kind of portray him as being just kind of embittered over not getting an administration position, and about 6 months later, in the summer of 2011, going in and inappropriately diverting campaign emails sent to their campaign domain to an account he controlled.
Yeah, and this is where it gets interesting. So here we are about 6 months into the Martinez administration, and Jamie doesn't have a job. And is allegedly disgruntled over it.
He doesn't have an administration job.
He doesn't have a job within the administration. It says the FBI affidavits and indictments say that around July, or is it June of 2011, that the staffers in the governor's office were still using her campaign email address, which is a private email address. And that around this time, their messages started bouncing back. And so, basically...
They started bouncing back to sender, as in you send an email to an email address that doesn't exist.
So the emails started bouncing back. And according to FBI documents, the people in the governor's office, the staffers using these emails kind of realized, well, the domain must have expired. And they need to locate the username and the password of an administrative account that registered the domain to re-register it, basically. And they can't do that. They can't find the username or the password, nor can they locate the name of David Hiss, who was the person who originally registered the domain back when the campaign started. But let me say that again. It says that they couldn't remember his name. And I think that's kind of the most unusual part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I think New Mexico Compass, they said about how their lack of tech savvy helped start this whole thing.
Yeah. And so...
So from there, then...
So they... Well,
this is where allegedly Jamie Estrada comes in, right?
Yeah. Well, and to note, the governor's office switches their emails to her Susanna Pack address, and... The FBI documents reads that that's where their political communications were happening afterwards. But we know from emails that have leaked that they were also using Susanna Pack after this to do public business on. And again, that's a private email address. So around this time, allegedly, somebody from the staff approaches Jamie and asks if he has the username and password and for the Susanna 2010 account. He says no, allegedly. And
he said he, or the one of the federal documents states that he refused to provide it.
He refused to provide
it. So I don't know if, yeah.
Well, okay. So he refused to provide it. And then according to the documents, he, I guess he saw an opportunity here. And he re-registered the domain using a gift card and using a fake name. And then...
using an untraceable, one of those like Visa gift cards that your grandma gets you for Christmas because she thinks it's a good idea.
Yeah, and didn't he allegedly went to like a Chipotle or something or
in Denver? Oh yeah, it was, that was the address. The address was a Chipotle in Denver, or a building that is now a Chipotle in Denver.
And he was doing all this in some sort of a cafe, I think, on some Wi-Fi there.
Yeah. So from what the FBI says, he's clearly trying to make sure it's not him. That is getting the account.
Yeah. So he registers it and then he allegedly creates or he allegedly directs all the emails to his Google account. And he does this over the next year.
And just to back up here. So whenever you start a website, you have to register that domain name like www.joeypeters.com. And you go to a company like GoDaddy to do that.
Yes.
And in some of these domains, you can control... You could have administrative access in the back end to email accounts. So this is what, and these domains expire annually or, you know, sometimes every 2 years, depending on just, you know, whether you use GoDaddy or what you use. But this one was set to expire. And so Estrada allegedly here sees that the domain has expired. And according to federal documents, he went in, created that fake profile after the domain expired. That's going to be important for the court case if there is one. But within GoDaddy's 42-day grace period before the domain goes on the open market, anybody could buy it. So it's like after the domain expired, but it's not on the open market as it were yet.
So he does this, allegedly. And, you know, so this is summer 2011 to summer 2012. The day after Steve Terrell's story about the Barron's email broke, the FBI documents say that David Hiss contacted GoDaddy and said that the campaign domain had been hijacked, and he was able to regain control of it from that day on. And so... That summer, the emails leak out.
Summer of 2012.
12. And the FBI affidavits name some other people that assisted Jamie in this.
In comes Jason Loera. So if we are to believe certain aspects of this story, we have maybe a disgruntled Republican gaining access to... emails sent to the email accounts of Martinez and her campaign staffers.
Yes.
Somehow, these emails get in the hands of Michael Cornwin and Independent Source PAC, which are passing them to media outlets like the Santa Fe Reporter and other outlets. And apparently, so we see in federal documents also that there is this individual by the name of Jason Loera.
Yes.
Whom was, I believe, a search warrant was served on him in November of 2012, and discovered that he had been communicating with Jamie's
email address that had the Martinez emails on it. And so Jason Loera is a Democratic Party operative who had worked on Ben Ray Lujan's campaign, congressman of Santa Fe here, had worked with Sam Bregman's PAC, grassroots PAC. Sam Bregman is now the chair of the State Democratic Party. It's interesting that Jamie, I mean, if he did do this, gave it to the other side to kind of, you know, gave these emails to Democrats to kind of, you know, uses political leverage, I guess.
And that would fit in with the Martinez camp narrative here that he was disgruntled and he is trying to, this is kind of a thing about vengeance.
Yes.
Here. So he's giving these emails to Martinez's biggest political enemies. We got Sam Bregman, who is an individual who is not afraid to throw mud or to kind of get dirty in politics. I mean, he's the same person who also leaked an audio tape secretly recorded between Martinez's chief of staff and a fire department official in Roswell that had showed the chief of staff, Keith Gardner, not saying very nice things
about Tim Jennings and others.
Yeah.
Cocksucker.
And so it got in the hands of Martinez's political enemies. And we have, Michael Corwin, an independent source PAC, has really been under the skin of the Martinez administration since its inception. Independent Source PAC has conducted extensive investigations into the Downs deal.
And we'll get to that later.
And we'll get to that, yeah. So back to Jason, though. The interesting thing about him, a search warrant is served in November of 2012 in his Albuquerque home. And they're obviously looking for information on his computer to see if he's, a party to Jamie,
to allegedly maybe stolen emails or intercepted,
and they find child porn. And so, Jason was out in California, had been missing for a while, and now it turns out he's during the course of this email investigation, federal authorities found child pornography. Yeah. Now he's charged with that. He's not charged with anything in this Estrada case.
Yeah, so they open a separate investigation. He gets charged on different and
probably
much more serious.
Much more disgusting
crimes.
Anyway. But it shows that they can go ahead and if they find another sort of crime in what they're searching for, they can go ahead and start investigating.
Well, actually,
that.
I mean, I think with child porn they can do that because of how serious it is, but I don't think they can do that with many other crimes.
Yeah,
but
Jason, then he gets, that's the day after Estrada's indictment comes down, right?
Within a
short time period. So then there's that whole aspect of it, and I think does that bring us up to present yet, or are we
no.
still?
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, so these two individuals are indicted in connection to this email case, a couple weeks ago.
Well, other names were named. Nobody else was indicted, but Anissa Ford's name came up as a witness to this. Correct.
She was also working on the campaign of Martinez, and was kind of Martinez's almost handler in a way, with Martinez every day during the campaign for quite a while. Anissa had never, she didn't get a job or position in the administration.
And the governor's office came calling her disgruntled for the same reason Jamie was not getting a job in the administration. So they come and throw mud at her as well.
But she is, it seems like her attorney says that she's not a target in this case. She's going to be serving as a witness. Or she has served as a witness, so no, no violation of law there.
Yeah, I think that was in the Albuquerque Journal, right? Mike Gallagher reported that.
Yeah, and then another AP had reported Bruce Weatherby, who's did some work with Independent Source PAC. They had reported on search warrants, actually the U.S. Attorney's Office had unsealed some search warrants that I think named Bruce's email address, and Bruce's quotes to the press on this was that, he's not going to give up his source, that he's acting as a journalist on this.
That's what both...
And Michael.
Yeah, Bruce Weatherby and Michael Corwin and both said that they're protecting their sources of these emails, because they say they publish information, they do publish editorials and some reporting in their investigations and their websites. So they're saying that they're acting as journalists as well.
Okay. So now where are we? Let's get to the Downs deal, because that's a whole nother controversy here that's tied to this whole thing.
So So the downs deal was something you guys have been looking at.
Yeah.
At the Santa Fe Reporter. You wrote, was it your cover story, Joey?
Yeah, I wrote a cover story on it. Justin and I wrote a story recently about how the FBI was asking questions about it. We've had State Fair Commissioner Charlotte Rohde on this podcast, who's a big opponent of the deal, talk about this before. Basically what this is a Racino deal, a Racino that's located on the State Fair. That's
the Downs at Albuquerque?
Well, Downs at Albuquerque is the company,
that
got a lucrative 25-year lease on this Racino. And they had been managing it for 25 years before. And what was so controversial about them was how the frankly shitty shape they left it in and the bad job they did as managers. If you go into the barnyards, you'll see the bathrooms that race, you know, that the people who own racehorses use, who are there during the season, the bathrooms that they share are literally caked in mold. It looks like shit.
Is that literally or figuratively?
The shit is figuratively, but we have pictures that accompany our stories of these. And, you know, you go through the backyard, you see pigeons everywhere, you see
trash piled up. They're in bed.
The Horsemen's Association had always had trouble with the managers, but the managers of the Downs were always very politically connected to Richardson and now to the current governor, Susana Martinez. And in 2011, the State Fair did an RFP, a 30-day RFP that critics say was rushed, and eventually the Downs was awarded this new lease. And many of these Susana 2010 emails that were leaked from Independent Source Pack that allegedly Jamie Estrada first saw and leaked to, you know, to his people, to leak to the media, show that lobbyists who were connected with the Martinez administration, like Pat Rogers, were discussing this lease with the administration before the lease had been awarded. They were not just discussing how they could meet with certain commissioners. The emails showed how Rogers and the State Fair General Manager Dan Morning had penned a letter to the State Board of Finance telling the State Board of Finance that the State Fair Commission had approved the deal a month before the commission actually approved the deal. So there was at least evidence of a rushed process, and critics would say evidence of pay to play.
And how does this all connect into the email gate?
Well, like I said,
I hate the phrase email gate.
A lot of the emails that were leaked to the press showed the connections that the Downs lawyers had and the Downs lobbyists had, showed that they were communicating with the administration when the administration eventually awarded the lease, showed all these things going on that didn't look good. And so fast forward to a week before Jamie's indictment. Justin and I did a story called Downs Doings for the Santa Fe Reporter. We had been covering the Downs for a while now and how that deal happened. And sources of ours, former campaign staffers, basically sources that told us that former campaign staffers were being questioned by the FBI about the deal. And Justin, you want to?
Yeah, specifically the sources had said that they had been called in by the FBI specifically for questioning about the Downs deal itself. Also questions about kind of relationships between Downs officials and Martinez officials, and also the FBI had asked about consulting payments made to Martinez's political advisor, Jay McCleskey.
And these FBI questionings happened recently. And
this was pretty recently, and so our story breaks.
And this was furthermore on top of when the FBI asked Charlotte Rohde, the State Fair Commissioner, questions last summer about the deal. So our story breaks.
Sure, our story breaks, and they're and just right after our story breaks, Jaime Estrada gets indicted. And so,
not only that, though, KRQE ran a story right after ours saying that the FBI wasn't questioning people about the Downs or wasn't investigating about the Downs. They were saying that they were actually investigating emails. And then Jaime gets indicted.
And so he comes out and kind of publicly says through his attorney that he kind of hints at that he's going to have some sort of aggressive defense, and mentions misdeeds at the Downs, which were shown in the emails. And so people are kind of asking whether Jaime is going to invoke, if this case does go forward, if he's going to invoke some sort of whistleblower defense, in which he argues that the documents that he released showed kind of malfeasance, and especially as it relates to this Downs deal.
Yeah.
And so what the Martinez administration and its kind of political operatives have been saying is that the FBI questioning of former campaign staffers about the Downs and about the consulting payments and whatever else were related to this Estrada case, that that federal authorities were simply preparing for a defense and kind of looking, vetting everything out before this case might go to trial to be prepared for a whistleblower defense from Estrada.
And then a former Martinez campaign staffer named Andrea Goff released a statement saying that the FBI had indeed interviewed her about the Downs recently, and that it was separate and not related to Jaime Estrada's indictment. And this was on top of a bunch of speculation from people maybe aligned with the administration who were trying to discredit our reporting on this. And then, the indictment, Jaime and all the indictments come on Emailgate, and then Anissa Ford, who we mentioned earlier, her attorney says that she was questioned on the Downs as well recently, and that it had nothing to do, that it was separate from Jaime, separate from the emails. So
basically there's this dispute about whether the FBI is asking questions of former campaign staffers about the Downs and other issues as it relates to the Estrada case to prepare for defense, or whether it's launching an official separate investigation into malfeasance on behalf of the Martinez administration.
Yeah, and the dispute is pretty much between the Martinez administration and the two people that have come forward.
And the two people come forward. I mean, Andrea Goff, she has an attorney who is a former FBI agent and former federal prosecutor himself, and Anissa, her and her attorney came in, forward and said that the FBI had questioned her about the Downs and, quote, various activities, and that those questions were not related to the email case at all. And then we have a similar situation going on with Anissa and her attorney publicly stating that a similar situation had happened. So it's going to be interesting to see, coming forward. These investigations are slow, both with the Estrada case and maybe a possible separate investigation into other issues. This is going to be kind of slow going, but it's going to be interesting to see what comes forward.
Yeah.
If anything, about these cases.
It's interesting. All this breaks, all this comes back to the public consciousness within the case of about 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks. It's been pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then we haven't even covered everything yet. I don't even know if we're going to get to all these, but I do want to mention, we mentioned Jason Laura. He had his connection to Sam Bregman.
Yeah.
And Bregman, actually, one of the emails that he gave that Associated Press reported, I think it was from FBI documents, that one of the emails that Bregman had as a part of a different lawsuit became a key part of this investigation, right?
Yeah, one of the Susana 2010 emails. He was representing a fired state employee, and
in a wrongful termination suit that he ultimately pulled, and in that case, he used an email as evidence, I believe that.
Yeah, and that email was allegedly from Loera.
From Laura, and it was Laura's email that was using for the alleged hijacked emails.
Yeah,
intercepted email.
So Martinez, the governor, has come forward and tried to put the pressure on Sam and say, like, did you know, or like, what did you know about this email? Did you know it was stolen? And Sam, other than releasing a statement criticizing her, hasn't really said much.
Yeah, so it's. So that puts a whole other little wrinkle into this that beyond the Racino, beyond the
you got the governor, a Republican, you've got the chair of the Democratic Party, both engulfed in this scandal right now, both trying to, you know, anytime it comes to somebody like Bregman, he'll try to defer the narrative to the Downs and the, you know, quote unquote dirty dealings that happen there. Anytime it comes to the governor, she's going to defer it back to who stole my emails. Who, Sam Bregman? You yourself were an accomplice, or allegedly.
Yeah. So that's basically where we stand now. We could also get into, public records battles. I think we've kind of covered that in past podcasts before with Gwyneth Doland. Formerly of the Foundation for Open New Mexico Foundation for Open Government, but so where do we see things going from here? Now that we've laid out, I think everything in the past on everything tangentially connected to this. So what's the next step?
Yeah, this is. I mean, in the last few weeks, in the last month or so, this has been a pretty fast moving unraveling, as it were, of a political scandal, and this is. I mean, this is in the federal court system right now with the Estrada case. And so that's going to be kind of slow going. Obviously, his arraignment's on Monday, but this is the federal courts are kind of famously backlogged. And this might be kind of a slow deal, and it will be interesting to see if it spills over into election season for the 2014 gubernatorial campaign.
And well, we're already in that gubernatorial campaign. It looks like a lot of the statements that are coming here are all related to politics. So we'll be looking at that. Then on the Racino side of things, what's the next step for that?
Well, the next step for that, I mean, if the FBI is indeed investigating the Racino lease or any consulting payments to McCleskey or anything else like that, I think what we all saw with the Richardson years was that these kind of investigations come out through public records requests with state agencies. The FBI will send them maybe a letter or some sort of formal request, and the news media will request those documents, and that's kind of how those spill out. But it's still, you know, the FBI will neither confirm nor deny whether it's investigating anything. So you can't get anything from the FBI on this. So I think it's going to be kind of a question of whether federal authorities are investigating it, but it is, no matter what, the Downs is going to be a campaign issue.
And then we'll also, I'm just going down our list of what we're talking about. And then the public business on private accounts, that's the Martinez campaign says it's settled on her side, because all public business now she's done an executive order that has to be done on public email accounts.
Yeah, so she did people like Fogg, who had criticized her for her administration for conducting private business or public business on private accounts, also applauded her executive order ordering state agencies to conduct all public business on public email accounts. And it's going to be kind of interesting. I think that what's more interesting going forward with this public records issue and the email issue is watching how the governor's office and other state agencies and even the legislature interpret public records requests as they relate to emails. And I think that it's the responsibility of all of the news media to watch that, to watch whether they're broadly interpreting public records requests and granting them, or very narrowly interpreting them.
And then also, that's a whole different issue. I won't even get into that.
So you know, when these emails leaked, Martinez quickly asked the FBI to investigate who stole them. And they, for the next year, used that as an excuse to not discuss the content on these emails. Now that the, you know, now that the indictment's been made, it seems like the case is closed. So the question is, will they talk about what happened in the, on these emails? But another question is, how many journalists are actually going to ask them about old news now? So they might have won that battle here.
And of course, now they can use the excuse, it's going through the court systems, we don't want to prejudice the courts, etc. And as Justin was saying before, who knows how long this is going to go, how long this case will drag on.
And another thing with, you know, as you've said, Matt, we've talked about my IPRA troubles with the governor's office on this. And, you know, I've submitted IPRAs on dates when some of these emails have leaked, not just on the Susanna 2010, but on their Susanna PAC email address. I feel that these records are public, and they still haven't not only not given them to me, but they've not acknowledged that they're holding anything back. So we still don't really know, as Justin said, what they, you know, what they consider a public record. You know, we know that the Attorney General, Gary King, her political enemy at this point, has said over and over again that public business is public business, regardless of how it's done or where it's done. So
then, of course, there's cases of King doing public business, allegedly doing public business, a private email account.
Yeah, there is that. And the Republican Party of New Mexico had a
That's a whole other thing.
But I would say that he actually. I mean, I don't know if it's all of them, but he did give them documents that, you know, from private email accounts as a submission, you know, as a response to a public records request.
So is there anything else that we haven't covered in this? I'm not sure how long this has gone on, but I think it's well over 45 minutes.
Well, I just say we'll see, you know, how this story develops. It'll be interesting to see. I think the question is going to hinge on, in Jaime Estrada's case, you know, whether what he did, you know, re-registering a domain that nobody else who worked with the campaign could remember, re-registering it when after it had expired and paying for it himself, if that really is illegal or not. He's also charged with lying to the FBI, and from what I hear from lawyers, that's the more serious charge here.
So we'll, I'm sure that we'll keep you up to date on what's going on here. Hopefully we won't wait until 7 different things all come at once to try to wrap them up all into one podcast. But
and it would be, I mean, clearly Jaime didn't like what he saw on the emails that he allegedly intercepted. Whether he was doing that to try, you know, as vengeance, or whether he was doing that, whether he's going to try to invoke some sort of whistleblower protection.
Yeah, and he does maintain he's innocent in this case, that he's broken no law, and so it's going to be interesting to see how this case moves as it goes forward.
What he defines innocence as.
Okay, and I think that we can wrap up our longest podcast we've done so far here. Once again, I'm Matthew Reichbach, nmtelegram.com. You can read The Morning Word over there, or at sfreporter.com.
I'm Justin Horwath, Santa Fe Reporter.
And then I'm Joey Peters with the Santa Fe Reporter. We'll be back next week.
Jeff Williams, word. What's up, young world? It's Jeff Williams.
And Jay Lang.
You're listening to CC Mixer.
Cool.